Are you or someone you know a recent graduate of college with student loans? Are you ready to be debt free? Well, in this episode, Candace Marie is going to share how she eliminated her debt and four simple ways you can too.
Welcome to the Financial Fornicating with Madam Money podcast, where fun financial tips are shared for sexier and healthier relationships with your money and credit. I am your host, Tara Jackson, aka Madam Money, and I am so excited about this episode. We are talking about how to destroy your debt, and I have an awesome guest with me that's going to talk about how she detonated her debt. You like that, right? Alliteration. I just love it. Her name is Candace Marie of Young Yet Wise. She is an absolutely fabulous young lady, known her from social media for a long time. And now I get an opportunity to really have a conversation about how she defeated over $47,000 in debt. You know, I did a workshop for people, and I did the marvelous Marvel money movie ever told. And I talked about how credit was like my boyfriend. And then all of a sudden he got really crazy and turned into his alter ego called debt. And he was just trying to kill me. You got to hear it. But debt is not your friend if you can't pay for it. Credit is lovely. Credit is nice. Credit is leverage. But when it turns into that alter ego of debt, you better be careful. And if you're dealing with that alter ego of debt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we have Miss Candace Marie here that's going to tell us how she destroyed her debt. Candace, I am so excited for you to be here. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, yes, I'm super excited to be here too. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so I wanted to introduce my audience to you because I loved your story. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so 6 years ago, I didn't want to check my net worth because I knew it would be in the negatives. I created my blog, Young Yet Wise, to help myself stay on track and just to learn more about my own money. And so now I have a positive net worth. I built up savings, investments, and I paid off $47,500 worth of debt. And now I'm on a mission to help others do the same.
That is so awesome. And, you know, when we talk about some people might, well, I have way more than $47,000, but there are some people that have less than that. Some people have more than that. But the fact that you focused on destroying the debt is the key here, that it can be done. And whether it's $10,000, $20,000, $40,000, or $400,000, it can be done. And we want to talk about how you actually did that. But what compelled you to want to pay off all of your debt? There's some people that hold on to debt all of their lives, but what really compelled you to want to annihilate or destroy your debt?
Mm-hmm. I graduated college, so the majority of my debt comes from my student loan debt, and then about $5,000 comes from credit card debt. And when I graduated college, I didn't really have any idea that I would be paying off all of my debt. I just, you know, in my mind, I was just like, debt is just something that's just you're going to have forever. And it wasn't until I started meeting other people who were on their debt-free journeys, and they were telling me, like, I was going to the FinCon conference. That's when I really first heard about people becoming debt-free. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know this was possible. Maybe I should try to become debt-free myself. So I think it was just kind of surrounding myself with other people, like-minded people.
That's awesome. And FinCon is absolutely fabulous. If you don't know anything about FinCon, FinCon is a financial conference where financial experts in the media collide, and we call ourselves the money nerds. And yes, I am a money nerd, and you have never been to a party like a money nerd party. So I can't wait. Are you going to FinCon this year?
I am going.
I'm going to see you there. I am so excited. Absolutely. So tell me, you know, I hear a lot of debt elimination, debt-free stories. They're all over the place. I'm going to be one of them. I have several listeners, you know, other financial fornicators who are working to become debt-free, debt freedom fighters or debt-free fighters. What makes your debt story different from other people?
Definitely. I feel like what makes my story different is I didn't specifically focus on paying off all my debt in the beginning because, as I mentioned, like my net worth was important to me. And so I started off just I was paying the minimum amount of debt, the minimum balance of my debt for, I graduated in 2011 and I was paying the minimum balance until 2015. And so while that time I was saving money, building up my emergency savings, and I was also investing money because I didn't want to be debt-free and then have a net worth of zero, just be starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that makes my story different. And I also ended up losing my job, like when I had $10,000 left of debt. So then it was just like me freelancing and trying to figure out, okay, I only have 1 year left. How am I going to make this happen? So I think those are two things that make my story different.
See, what I love about that was, you know, even though you lost your job when you were almost there, you found your talent and you monetized your talent. Mm-hmm. And you still utilize that money to help you pay off your debt. And so that's very important for our, what I call my young money listeners to understand. And so all of you financial fornicators, you got to let your young money, your teenagers, your college students, your recent graduates listen to this episode, because even though they may not have a job or the ideal job that they want to have, they can always create opportunities for themselves by creating that side hustle or monetizing their talents. Everybody has a talent. And I call it dualpreneur when you have a full-time job and you also have a side hustle. You are a dualpreneur, right? But sometimes your side hustle is your full-time job until you can get a full-time job, or you may become an entrepreneur. But the fact remains is, don't just say, oh, I'm unemployed, so I can't pay off debt. Find ways to make money when you have the opportunity. And it's a great opportunity when you're young money, right? When you don't have that extra debt that the parents have, that we have on that. And in the same respect, you know, whenever you have an opportunity to put towards the debt, that's really awesome. Now, Candace, what I talk about in my book, Financial Fornication, and, you know, I always say this all the time, that we're more apt to talk about sex, you know, who we want to sleep with, who we don't want to sleep with, who we wish we slept with. But nobody really wants to talk about their crappy credit. No one wants to talk about their debt. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that we haven't saved or invested. What made you want to talk about your numbers with people? Because that is such a sensitive thing. People will share that they had a divorce or that they're having troubles with finding the right man or woman, but nobody wants to talk about their personal numbers. Mm-hmm. What made you really want to share that with people?
I found that by sharing my numbers, it kept me accountable, because it was just like every week I'm like updating my blog and I'm updating social media and how much debt. I mean, almost like every week or every month I'm updating them on my numbers, and it kind of kept me accountable to the debt that I had. And I also just wanted to be real with people. I didn't want to seem like I was preaching to people, like, this is what you need to do with your money. I wanted to rather show people, like, this is what I'm doing and this is what happens to be what's working for me. And I feel like that's what draws people to me, because they're like, wow, she's sharing like her real numbers.
Right. Like, who does that? Okay. You're right. And so that's so awesome. I'm glad that you leverage the vulnerability of that to show other people that it can be done. Mm-hmm. So that gives you your superpower right now. Sometimes our vulnerabilities are our superpowers, and that's how we save people's lives.
Right.
I just came up with that. That's really cool. I'm going to have to tweet that. Not a money said that, right? So when we express those vulnerabilities and it becomes our superpower, we save people's lives because they realize they're not suffering by themselves. And they can stop suffering in silence. So to everyone who is reaching their financial goals, what are some specific roadblocks that they need to look out for?
I think you have to just really look out for like your mindset and just believing that at first that it is possible for you to achieve your goals. Even if right now you have a ton of debt and it seems like it's not going down, just remember, just keep taking it a dollar at a time, you know, surround yourself with like-minded people. And also don't forget about your savings and investing goals. I know you want to put every single penny towards your debt, but I think it's still important to save and invest.
That's so cool. So one, your mindset, keep your mindset. If you believe it, you can achieve it. We've heard it all before, but it's so true. If you believe you can detonate or destroy your debt or annihilate or eliminate your debt, you can achieve that goal. The next thing you said was be around like-minded people. You know, connect with Candace Marie, connect with the Madam Moneys. We have a brown money community where it's African-Americans who talk the money conversation. And it's not just African-Americans, it's actually all people of color. Mm-hmm. We have our Hispanic brothers and sisters, our Asian brothers and sisters. We have our Native American brothers and sisters. And it's just people of color that's talking about money. And it used to be called the color of money. Now we're elevating. So we're the Elevate Mastermind team. I love that group. I just love them
to
death.
I love it. I know, me too.
And then you said, you know, $1 at a time, one debt at a time. And just, did you use the snowball effect?
I did use the snowball method. Yeah.
Okay. The method. Yeah.
And just focusing on, like, even if I had a big balance, I was just focusing on the smallest loan that I was focusing on first. So even if I had $40,000, I was just focusing on that $5,000 debt that I had.
Exactly. And that's what I do with my debt as well. I look at the small one and then I pay that off. And the money that I use to pay that off, I use it towards the next one and go to the next one. Now, with your student loans, did you consolidate your student loans or did you keep them separate?
No, I didn't consolidate. I just kept them separate.
Okay. Yeah, and that's one of the things I tell people all the time, and I get this big gasp, like, I tell people, if I could do it all over again, I would not have consolidated my student loans. I would have kept them the way they are.
You were telling me about that. It was a horror story.
I would have left my student loans the way they were, and I would have focused on paying the small one off, then paying the next one off. I would have probably eliminated more than half of it if I had done it that way. But when you think about consolidating them, even if it's a small interest rate, that's still a significant payment. And you're really only still paying the interest because of the balance, the principal payment of it, right? And unless you're going to pay $600 towards it, that's not going to happen. So even with the payment that I was making of almost $400, most of it was going towards the interest. And so I would have rather have not consolidated it and just paid it that way. But there are some people that it's a good thing to consolidate, but, you know, not consolidating and doing the snowball method worked for you. That was good. And then the last one you said mindset, surround yourself with like-minded people, dollar at a time, debt for a time. Oh, don't forget your savings and investing goals.
Yeah.
Exactly. So people ask me all the time, should you pay off your debt or should you save and invest? And I say, do both.
Mm-hmm.
You do both. So, you know, some people say, well, if your interest is more than what your interest in your savings, pay off the debt. I just say, I don't care what percentage you allocate. Most of it, you have to do both.
I agree.
Because when you stop doing one, it stops the growth. Stop saving, stop investing. There's no growth there. So you have to continue to feed the seeds of your savings and investing. Is that your little puppy back there?
Yeah, he's barking. I know.
Yes, I love dogs. They're so cute. Okay. But that's just so awesome within that. So tell us a little bit about your blog and where can we find your blog?
Yeah, so you guys can find my blog over at youngyetwise.com. So sorry about my dog barking in the background.
That makes this show so realistic.
Yeah, youngyetwise.com. And I have a free, like, 5-day emails money series that people can sign up for if they're interested.
Nice. So that is Young Yet Wise. Young, YONGYETWISE.com.
Yep.
Great. And on your social media, how can they find you?
On social media, I'm at Young Yet Wise, but the E is a 3.
Okay. So that's at Young Yet Wise. So that's at YONGYETWISE, the number 3.
Yes.
You are so awesome. I can't wait to see you at FinCon. I love everything that you're doing out there. Keep pushing, keep helping people pay off debt. Keep using your beautiful vulnerability as your superpower to save people's lives, financial lives.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Financial Fornicating with Madam Money. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'll see you on the next one. We'll be right back.